Chicago's most fun afternoons with Scotty K.
Ingrid Andress, before we get into the album, can we talk about the album cover for a second? Because I love it, one, but is it photoshopped or are you in the water?
Cold floating.
So what was the idea behind the album cover? You're cold floating in this water.
Yeah. So water is like the great neutralizer. So the album starts dark and then it ends light.
Yeah.
And so water to me is that in between, like cleansing, kind of new stage. So it was it was definitely metaphorical for sure. But on top of that, it was just stunning.
Logistically, for me, I look at this album cover and I go, I don't know if I would actually be able to float on my back like that.
No, nope, it was very difficult, especially with a slip on.
Yes.
It just would drag me down. So what we had to end up doing was putting a pole under my feet.
There was some movie magic here. Well, yeah, that's where I'm getting at.
Yes.
It wasn't just you.
No,
just,
it wasn't. Wow. I tried for 15 minutes.
Okay.
And I was exhausting myself, like trying to like tread to stay. And I was like, y'all, we got to come up with a different method here because this ain't working.
Okay.
So we did the poll and then, Photoshop.
Gosh. I love that you take us on a journey through this album. And I felt like I was going through couples therapy listening through the album, like in a really great way, you know? Like, because you have to be so aware of yourself and embracing conflict. And I really want to know, how do you storyboard something like that? When you're thinking about this album, right? And you know where it's going, what you want to talk about. Are you recording songs and then seeing how they fall, seeing how they lay? Or it seems so intentional. The album is so intentional.
It is. Yeah. And I sort of put them in the order in which I wrote them and how I was processing those emotions in real time.
So this is like real time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of the songs that I wrote at the beginning was when I was in that, relationship that wasn't good.
Right.
So I was writing and processing as it was happening. And then the happier songs were written when I'd met a new person. So the songs very much capture what was actually happening.
So it really was therapy for you as you were going through it, because you do hit on a lot of important points. I think that are so important to have a healthy relationship, whether it's with yourself or with somebody else. And it's that idea of not avoiding conflict. Right.
Yes.
And going kind of head on to that. How did you get to that point? Was it therapy that got you to that? Like, is that something you've always embraced? Is it new for you? Cause that's a hard thing to be vulnerable about.
Yeah. I definitely was seeing a therapist, but I also realized that it was going to be hard either way. So you either embrace it or run away from it. And I knew that, I was writing these songs and I'm like, okay, I'm not happy. Like, this is not working. Like, I keep writing these songs.
Which came first? Just not to interrupt you, but when you say you're not happy, did you realize you weren't happy as you were writing the songs?
Or
did
yes.
you? Okay. So the songs,
the songs
made you realize that, okay, this is
like,
where I am.
Yeah. I was like, do I actually feel this way? I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I do. I'm like, whoa. And so you kind of can't unsee that. Like, you can't just come back home and be like, hey, sweetie, listen to this song I wrote today.
Boy, I'm on song 12, so this is where we are in a relationship. I don't want to talk about it, but if you could just...
Yeah, I can't play these songs for you because they're true.
Yeah.
So, that was very much, one of those things that once I realized that I was unhappy, I was like, okay, well, it's going to get worse before it gets better. So you kind of just have to lean in. And I know a lot of people just like skipping to the happy part of the story, but you really can't have happiness without sorrow too. Like they both come hand in hand.
It's not real. It's imaginary. It's your ideal situation that you're just pretending is actually happening in the moment, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
And I feel like,
So starting with Good Person, you don't say anything for like the first 40 seconds of the song.
Yeah.
When you're performing that song, what's going through Ingrid Andress' head for those first like 40 seconds?
It's probably just prepping for the journey we're about to go on.
Yeah.
Cause it's a journey.
Right.
So it's sort of, I wanted it to sound like almost like a very cinematic, like the beginning of a movie. Sort of just set the tone and like give you a second to get into a headspace of like listening.
Yeah.
The original version of it was like definitely a shorter intro.
Really?
Yeah. And then, after listening to the songs back to back, I'm like, I feel like there needs to be like a bit of time for people to know that this is not just like a pop it in and feel good kind of album. It's very much questioning a lot of things. So it kind of gives the listener a moment to be more introspective and present.
I like that you changed, because that's what it did for you. That's why you changed it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you wanted to feel in that moment. And that when you're performing those songs, now obviously you drop an album mid-tour, which is That's got to be weird, right?
For sure.
So now do you adjust your set to now play some of the new stuff within, or how does that work? I don't know how that works.
Yeah. So I have been playing some of the new stuff, like sort of before it's out, just to test it.
Yeah.
But now that the album's out, I'll probably have to, I'm redoing my whole set, basically.
Yeah.
I just had a rehearsal last week for it. So it's weird because I'm just starting to get into the groove of the current set that I'm doing.
Right.
And now it's going to feel like I'm on tour all over again, like starting
a whole new tour.
Yeah.
You get to promote the album the way you probably wanted to promote the last album.
Correct.
Right.
Yes, I'm making up for lost time.
But you didn't really get to. Yearbook.
Ooh.
Can we take that one literally? I mean, with your parents, this is what you saw. This is what you experienced growing up and feelings.
I feel like they have a little bit to do with it because they're actually good now.
Good.
So this was actually observing a lot of other people's parents when I moved to the South. I, you know, lived in Boston for a couple of years, like grew up in Colorado. So when I moved to Nashville, I was a bit in culture shock because it's very different.
All the Colorado, Boston, Nashville, three completely different environments.
Completely different.
Yes, yeah.
Like, and so, but I had never lived in a place where it was so frowned upon to get divorced. And I'd never lived in a place where everyone, like a lot of people, had childhood sweethearts. And there's like this, and it's not just the South, it's a lot of cultures where you have to stay together. And if not, like, that's bad.
Different cultures, religions,
yes,
environments.
Different religions.
Yeah,
yeah. And so I would just meet all these people's parents or just observe people. And I'm like, man, they seem miserable. Like, why are they still together?
Yeah.
And so it kind of is just questioning that whole theory of like, why is it bad? Like, is it better to be miserable the rest of your life? Or, I mean, I don't know. So to me, I always try to look at it from a different perspective because I'm trying to understand it.
Right. Well, and that's kind of the perfect segue because you go right into your next song. Seeing Someone Else is the next song. And that's exactly kind of what you're talking about.
It's, yep. After I wrote Yearbook, I was like, wait, am I in a good relationship? And I was like, huh, I guess not.
Your last album, we touched on a little bit that you didn't get to promote it. What do you think? Are you going to maybe revisit it? Is there a deluxe version? Do you want to leave it where it is? Do you feel like that stays there?
I think it stays there.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah. I think that every album to me is like a chapter in my life. And it's good to like have memories of like, oh, that's what I was going through then. But I think there's a reason for everything. And I think that album really did well because people had nothing else to do but like listen and get in their feelings. But I'm in like a very good place in my life right now where I'm happy. And so,
yeah, I heard the end of the album.
I'm happy.
We got there. We got there eventually.
It's like, there's a certain point for me where I'll always play like More Hearts Than Mine or Ladylike. But yeah, I kind of just wanted to stay there,
yeah,
you know, and bring the pieces that I want with me in the next chapter.
What about on tour now with Keith and Tyler Hubbard now joining you guys, which is super cool. Is there a difference between the Keith Urban tour and the Dan and Shay tour?
Oh, yeah.
What's the difference? What's that like for you?
Dan and Shay have a younger audience, and it's just like very high energy and screaming, and
yeah,
you're just like, ah, which is super fun.
Right.
Very energetic. And then Keith's fans are just obsessed with his catalog and his lyrics, and they're very attentive. Like, they care about lyrics and kind of just chill.
And that's kind of your lane, like, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's...
So even if they've never heard the song before, they still listen to it and like want to learn it.
So you've seen it's almost the perfect tour for you to be on, it feels like.
It is, yeah. And I love both.
Right, sure.
I love both sides.
No digs, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I love having, you know, young girls screaming at me. Like, it's fun. But this tour is definitely very different.
As you write a lot of emotional songs, you have songs that dig deep. What is something that you hope or would wish that people knew a little bit more about you, or like saw a different side of you? Or, you know, is there something that like, okay, yes, I'm really good at this, but I'm also this person here?
Yeah. I think when people meet me, they're expecting like a rain cloud.
It is raining currently here.
It is raining. I did bring rain to Chicago, for the record. But I take my emotions and my writing seriously, but I don't take myself seriously.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get celebrity whatever. Like, we're all people. Like, I'm never trying to be Kim Kardashian or like, I think we're all the same in a lot of ways. And so I love making fun of everything. Like, I love self-deprecating humor, like just to be funny. Like,
yeah.
I love comedy. And so when you come to my shows, between every song, I'm either roasting you or roasting myself. Like, or telling a funny story, because there is, I get to do what I love to do and I'm having a great time. And yeah, I actually,
There's some good balance there, right?
I'm not serious at all.
We make you cry and then I'll make you laugh.
Exactly.
And then maybe we'll cry some more.
Exactly.
What song, what song gets you dancing? What's that song that you know comes on, you know you're dancing to? On the spot.
So many. I just got flooded with so many. What was the last one? Anything Missy Elliott.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Yes. She, I was such a huge fan of hers when I was younger. And anytime something comes on, I'm like, yo.
You know what I love right now in music is that you could have a Missy Elliott collaboration, Ingrid Anderson, Missy Elliott, and nobody would go, uh-uh.
Yeah.
Like, you could do that now.
Exactly.
It's I would like you to do that is what I'm saying, right? Can we?
I would actually die if I got to, one, meet her, and two, have her on a song. I think I would retire.
This is going to be like the highlight that we send out, okay? This is going to be the part that, okay, Missy Elliott needs to hear this about the what Ingrid Andrews said.
Perfect.
And if that happens, I just want to be a in the background of the music video. Is that
cool?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that'd be so fun.
But I want like old school Missy Elliott clothes on. I want like, I want to look like I'm in the garbage bag.
Same.
You know?
I want the garbage bag too.
Maybe laying across a Lamborghini, you never know.
Yeah,
something like that, right?
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yep,
could I be a video girl? What do you think?
Yes.
Why not?
Get you in there.
Yes. You know what? I love that, you know, speaking of your self-deprecating humor, I mean, you do put on your Instagram, what does it say? Like Grammy nominee or Grammy loser or something.
Three-time Grammy loser.
What does success look like for you for an album? What is that, your perception of success for that?
Success for an album would be other people other than just me hearing themselves in the stories.
Mm.
Because that's why I write songs, because you want to feel less alone and you want to feel understood. So I feel like if I can do that for other people and make them feel more understood, that's my job. That's like all I'm here to do, is to remind us that we all have more in common than we think we do.
Sure. What do you think is the misconception about successful people in Nashville? As people look and see this person, they made it. They're a big star. They're having success. What do you think that misconception is?
I think everybody looks a lot at numbers. And
you mean like streaming numbers or sales?
Just like, there are so many numbers now and data and, you know,
too much
followers.
Yeah.
Like, it's all numbers, and I'm terrible at numbers.
But you're good with feelings.
But I'm great with feelings. Yeah. And music is such an emotional experience. So it's like, sure, you could have 1.1 million followers, but if you're mean to people, like, that doesn't matter.
You're not a good person.
You're not a good person.
Good person.
Still don't know what that means,
right.
But yeah, exactly.
The last thing I want to touch on is I kind of love the fact that you didn't put Wishful Drinking on the album.
Thank you.
I think there would be, I think a lot of people feel a lot of pressure to, what's the most popular thing right now? We better put that on the album, help it sell, do this. But you made very specific, it doesn't fit the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like I said before at the beginning, your album's very, very intentional.
It is.
And nowadays, especially, there are no rules. You can break the rules. They don't exist. You can put out a song if you want to put out a song. It's not on the album, which was why, and that reminded me of recently I was looking at Scotty McCreery's Damn Straight, which I heard was offered to Chris Young. And he's like, I can't take it because I just put out an album and I wouldn't be able to record it for years and years. And I was like, what? Why?
Yo, if someone pitches you Damn Straight, you record that immediately. Yeah, that is a brilliant song.
Break the rules.
Yeah.
I love that.
Who cares?
All
right. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, does that mean you don't like the Wishful Drinking? I'm like, no, I love Wishful Drinking. It would ruin the whole flow of everything. And so
Sam Hunt's the perfect voice for that song.
Oh, for sure.
And did you when you wrote that, you had him in mind, didn't you?
He was the only one I was going to ask.
What happens if he doesn't do it?
I was going to put it out by myself.
You're going to do it?
I'm a very decisive person.
Yeah.
If I want something to happen, I'm like, this or nothing, which sometimes is great. Sometimes it's not.
Right.
I'm very stubborn and that's not always, sometimes it's good and sometimes we're having issues.
Ingrid Andress, Good Person, is out now on tour with Keith Urban and most dates with Tyler Hubbard. Thank you for the album. I guess thank you is the right exit strategy here.
Well, thank you for listening to it.
Awesome.
I appreciate
it.